are the fuck. Fear is not a factor for you.
This is where we're going to learn who will be the ultimate survivor.
So with your permission, I'd like to take this guy on a boat, and then once he's trapped at sea, teach him a lesson he'll never forget.
Can't would you stop taking pictures of yourself? Your sister's going to jail.
I think we're good.
All right. Looks like we're recording. Welcome to Confession Cam, a podcast about reality TV. I'm John.
I'm Hunter.
And I'm Daisy.
We're doing something a little different this week. We're taking a detour from our Geordie Shore coverage to bring you a special, what should we say? Remember when we did the Halloween episode, we were like, this is a spooky episode. What should we say for this one? Like, it's a very, very merry episode.
Merry, cheerful.
There we go.
Spiritual.
Extremely religious.
It does get very religious on this. we'll get to that in a little bit, but maybe I'll see if I can find some sleigh bell effects or something to edit in to the beginning of this one to set the tone a little bit. We're talking about The Great Christmas Light Fight. Have either of you seen this before? I think I've only ever heard like Hunter talk about it, but I don't actually know anything about it before watching this episode.
So I wouldn't consider myself a fan of this show. It's never something I've kept up with, but it was definitely something like my parents had on around Christmas time on like the background. Like, I don't think any of us actively watched it, but it was like a filler show in the rotation.
Yeah.
Like, I have memories of this being on, but I cannot specify anything that ever actually happened in any of the episodes I watched previous to today. Like, yeah. The show kind of has a vibe, and that's all it really is.
It does feel like filler TV. I think I've never seen this show specifically, but I remember when I was in the hospital over Christmas a few years ago, and this just reminds me of like everything that was on TV at the hospital over Christmas time.
It's
a few years ago. It was all, it's got hospital around Christmas time vibes for sure. But you know, so we'll go over the premise. The premise of this show is, it's just a guy. I don't know anything about the host. I've never heard of this guy before.
Oh, yeah.
I assume he does other stuff. What else has he done besides, this? Cause he can't just be from this show. this is like the TV equivalent of a seasonal job. You know what I mean? It's not a full-time gig, so I don't know.
He had a show. He's known for Celebrity Motorhomes, according to IMDb. Okay. He's also got a TV show called Million Dollar Rooms and Homegrown Makeover with Frederic.
So his whole career, is doing these type of shows, sounds like.
Yeah, so he produced... This is actually the only show he is noted as an act. Oh, he acted on some TV show called Marie.
Okay.
By the way, Christmas Light Fight.
I feel like he's, you know, the perfect guy for this show. He's just kind of a boring guy that just blends into the background and seems nice enough. He gets the job done. You know what
I mean? He kind of reminds me of like Ty Penn and like the Property Brothers, like all melded together.
Yeah. Okay. Relevant to our show, he was on an single episode of Chris, which is Chris Jenner's.
Oh, no way.
Oh. Oh,
wow. A single episode of that. And he was on a single episode of the Steve Harvey show where he was himself. So I'm guessing, he was on the Steve Harvey talk show.
Hmm.
Probably just an interview.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's all HDTV stuff.
But he goes around. I thought it was going to just be like random families, like houses, and it kind of is. But I think all the places they go in this episode, it's like, you know, a family business or something like that, and they're going all out decorating. It's not like they're just going to random people's houses. At least for this episode that we watched. By the way, we're talking about season 6, episode 3. Season 1 wasn't on Hulu, and we saw that season 6, episode 3 had a family from Indiana on it, so that's why we wanted to do that one. Sorry, what were you about to say, Daisy?
Oh, don't remember.
I hate to bring us back, but I scrolled IMDb long enough that I have a dirty little secret about our boy Carter.
Uh-oh.
So if you go down, he's on a bunch of HGTV stuff. He was on the Tony Danza show, Oprah Winfrey's show. His first acting credit, though, is from Playboy, Playmate Erotic Adventures, and he's listed as additional cast. So I'm guessing he's just like filler background, but according to IMDb...
Filler background for a porno?
I don't know. It says unrated. It's probably it's Playboy, so I'm guessing it's not like a full porno. I'm guessing it's just like videos of topless women.
Okay.
It says, indulge your most daring dreams as Playboy's playmates lead you on an uninhibited and erotic journey.
We gotta find this.
Yeah. So if your family has no idea what to do for Christmas, double feature that with some Christmas Life Height.
But if he's got that on VHS, please let us know.
Yes. I'm gonna see if I can find a rip of it right now.
I wonder I wonder how much of a story they wrote around that. Like, is the point of it just to see, you know, naked women, or do they actually write like a plot and everything? You know what I mean?
I have no idea.
This says it's a documentary. I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Yeah. If you Google it, it's apparently you can watch the whole thing for free on spankbang.com. So,
there's a sponsor we should try to lock down.
Yeah, each week we're gonna have to get our Spank Bang recommended movie of the week.
Give us a call. Give us your recommendations, please.
Yes,
on your fave Spank Bang content.
All right. Should we jump into it? Everyone understands the premise of the show, right? I mean, I know you both do because you watched the episode, but. Do you think we need to explain it to our listeners, or do you think it kind of explains itself?
I think the title is a little bit misleading. It's not really a competition. They're not fighting each other.
There's no challenges or anything.
They just pick mm-hmm. one at the end of the episode.
Well, doesn't someone win like $50,000 or something if they have the best one?
They get $50,000 and a trophy. Although it seems like they mention the money offhandedly, but they make a really big deal about the trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not care about the trophy as much as the $50,000 if I had any stake in this. But so we start out in Kokomo, Indiana. This guy has a private park called We Care Park. He does this every year. This one is kind of like a feel-good story, I think, compared to some of the others. He does this every year to raise money for the community. I don't think they ever explain what exactly the money's for. They just say that it's for a good cause.
A charity,
yeah. So the host talks to Mike a little bit about why he started doing this park. Then Santa comes along and turns the lights on. So this is the first time I've seen a light display on this show, because this is the first one they've done, and it's the first episode I've watched in. Honestly, I thought it was cooler than I was expecting. Pretty cool display. Anything y'all want to comment on before I continue making my way through this?
I'm looking it up right now.
I've got details about where the park is now. If that's where you're going with this, but I was going to save that for the end of, not the end of the episode, but just the end of this segment.
We can save that. I was going to say, I was trying to figure out what the charity was, and it keeps just saying that the money went to We Care, but I can't figure out what the We Care charity is.
I couldn't figure that out. That's what I was trying to find out as well, and I also couldn't figure out what the charity was. We do know that they give toys to kids who maybe wouldn't have toys otherwise. That's one thing they talked about, because they have some type of building. I don't know if it's a barn or what, that they repurposed for this event, where people can come in and get free hot chocolate, a cookie, and one toy. The guy came from a family of 16, so he said he knows what it's like to not get toys on Christmas sometimes, and that's why he does it. So yeah, I don't know what the money goes to, but presumably a portion of it goes to this toy drive.
Yeah, it looks like it's... Sorry.
Oh. I was saying, I found their website where they talk about where the money goes.
Okay, go for it.
So it looks like they actually distribute a bunch of the money to a bunch of different charities. So the, like this year, actually, they made $467,000. And so some of that went to the Buena Vista Club, some went to the Goodfellows of Kokomo, Kokomo Rescue Mission, Kokomo Urban Outreach, Mental Health America, Wabash Valley Region, Salvation Army of Kokomo, and We Care Hope Trust Fund. So it looks like they have a lot of different things they donate to. So okay. It really is.
And it sounds like they're, it sounds like for the most part, with maybe a couple exceptions, they're keeping it in the community of Kokomo too, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Some of the more prominent displays they have are a fishing pond, a carousel that actually moves, and a Ferris wheel. Any comments y'all want to make about any of the displays? If not, I can get into where this place is now.
I thought these lights were really cool. Seemed like there was like some serious engineering going on some of them. Like there's like a fire breathing dragon and like a Ferris wheel. Stuff like that was pretty cool. I also love their attitudes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They were all so amped to be there and doing this. And I don't know. I feel like there was a lot of heart there and definitely spoke to me a little bit as a Midwesterner.
Yeah, same. I felt like I related to these people more than... there were some other displays that I liked more. We'll get to that in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But these were the people that I feel like I relate to the most, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, they're just a bunch of Hoosiers like us.
Yep. So I looked up where this place is now, and apparently, Hunter, you said they raised a bunch of money this year. I think it's run by new people now, though, because back in 2021, the founder, Mike, announced the final year for the park. He said this article from the Kokomo Tribune says he put every item, display, and strand of lights on an auction block. And so now they're scattered throughout the city because different like people and businesses and stuff in Kokomo, Kokomo, Indiana. Just I think most people know that that's what we're talking about. But just to be clear, different people and businesses throughout Kokomo bought all this stuff. So now it kind of like lives on throughout all of Kokomo, which I think is kind of neat. They also put the state of Indiana installed a historic landmark. I don't exactly know how to describe it. I don't exactly know how to describe it, but you know how sometimes you'll see a plaque that's like, this is a historic whatever. Mm-hmm. You see them all throughout Bloomington, Indianapolis, et cetera. They installed one of those. If you look up We Care Park on Google Maps, it'll take you to this historic landmark, and then you can read the little blurb that they wrote about this guy. So he's been he's a part of Kokomo, Indiana history now, for real, which is pretty neat.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad. I was watching this and I was like, damn, I kind of want to go out there.
Same. That's why I looked it up on Google Maps. But it sounds like someone else is maybe running like a new version of it or something.
Yeah,
it's just not run by. Yeah.
So from what I could tell, We Care, like what the park was named, is a larger charity, and the park was only one portion of their money raising fund. So they do like a local telethon and stuff as well, it looks like. And so the park was only a portion of that charity. So the charity still exists. They're just not running the Christmas lights event anymore. And that the article I was looking also mentions that another display in the area bought up a lot of their lights. So a lot of these did just move to a different park. Like some people in the community have them, but they're also called the Greentown Lights. I'm guessing Greentown is nearby, but it looks like they just have a lights display instead now. So it's still in the community in the area. So it's something that people there can still enjoy, it looks like.
Yeah. All right. Y'all ready to move on to the next one? We've got the Cottom family. They have 110 acres and they decorate 50 of those acres for Christmas. This is like a farm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just some of it.
Seems like it.
So they got this farm. It's sort of around a, I don't know if I'd call it a lake or a pond. It's almost too big to be a pond, but too small to be a lake. But this thing is actually an asset because the lights reflect off the water, which makes them just pop more.
Yeah.
So when they first, oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I don't think it was quite as cool as they were saying the water, but it was definitely.
It wasn't quite as cool on camera, but I feel like actually being there, it would look really pretty.
That makes
sense. I don't know that I've ever seen Christmas lights by a lake before, but I've seen fireworks by a lake before, and the lake and like lakes can definitely add something to fireworks. So I imagine Christmas lights would have a similar effect.
Fair enough.
But I agree, it doesn't pop on TV as much. When they first turn the lights on, it looks pretty lackluster because they're like only showing the house, and then the camera pans out to reveal the whole lake. Okay, this is where I learned something about myself, which is that I like, so they go into a house. Yeah, I don't know if it's like someone from their family's, they said who it was, but it was like someone from their family who died or something, their house, and they just decorate it with Christmas stuff. I did not really like this at all. I thought it was very aesthetically off-putting. And that's when I realized, I think I like exterior Christmas decorations, but not interior Christmas decorations. Yeah. Because this becomes a pattern throughout this episode. We'll get to it a couple more times where there's some kind of like, you know, barn or house or something that they'll fill up with Christmas decorations. And it just looks like a, you know, grandma and grandpa who are hoarders, like kind of home. It does not look very appealing at all to me anyway.
Yeah, we can talk about it at the end of the episode, just once we've talked about all of them. I accidentally started the wrong episode, so I got like a load of Christmas in my eyes today. But I've noticed a pattern about this show that slowly was driving me insane throughout the night. But we'll talk about it at the end, and that's kind of part of it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. Sounds I feel good. Like it was really like a maximalist thing they were doing inside the house, and it's kind of a trend too. It's just like. They were like, let's just keep buying Christmas trees and putting them in the house.
Yeah. And sometimes more is not better. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is an example of that. It just, honestly, it made me feel kind of claustrophobic, like seeing the shots of these houses. Not just this one, but some of the others we're going to talk about.
I'm a bit of a Grinch, too. Like, I still have Halloween decorations out front, and the ones that I haven't bothered to pick up. And I think there's like two pieces of greenery in the house. Otherwise, I have not decorated my house. I'm not seasonal. I'll probably put my Halloween decorations up after New Year's and not decorate again until like August. So seeing some of those houses is just like, how do you live like that? Like, you don't have pets or like a day-to-day life. Like, I would feel like it would just get destroyed.
I can't imagine that they live in these houses. Like I said, I my impression was that there were like multiple houses on this farm, and this one used to belong to an old family member or something. Okay. Because it does not look livable. There's too many Santas in the house for a person to be able to live in there.
I think you can just leave that as for this show. There's too many damn Santas.
We should make that the title of this episode. There's too many damn Santas. They take a hayride to see the rest of the decorations. I think that seems like a fun way to experience this type of thing. Like, not this house specifically, just in general, like a Christmas lights show. Maybe it's because we live in Indiana. I don't know where this place was. I think it was somewhere in the South, so it was probably a bit warmer. But I think of hayrides as being more of like a fall thing. That's like a Halloween time type of activity. But if it's warm enough, I think that's a fun idea.
Yeah, this was in Florida.
Okay. That's why.
I always think of the haunted or the Headless Horseman hayride down at Connor Prairie. Like, that's what I hayrides with. Like, some dude's going to chase me on a horse, not Santa on a deer.
Yeah, that makes it way more interesting. I've never done it when some Headless Horseman is chasing me around.
We should do a haunted Christmas hayride where, like, Santa chases you with a scythe on a reindeer's back.
I went to Krampusfest in Bloomington recently, thinking that it was going to be kind of like what you just described, Hunter, but it was not that at all. It was actually pretty lackluster, unfortunately.
Yeah, I heard they got in trouble in the past. Because a lot of, like, real Krampus celebrations, like, people get drunk and just beat the shit out of each other with sticks. And apparently some people in Bloomington were not happy with that kind of behavior.
Wow.
See, I was hoping for that. I was hoping for more shenanigans, and there was not a lot of shenanigans. It was just, like, a little pop-up outside of a brewery. It was not really anything.
Yeah. I used to date a girl in Bloomington, and we were gonna, it seemed like every year they're like, this is the last year, they're not gonna let us do it anymore, and every year got smaller and smaller. So I think it used to be a bigger event, and that people just kept getting in trouble for, like, hitting children and stuff, so they're like, we can't do this anymore. Those Europeans know how to party. America's just not ready for it.
We're just such a bunch of prudes. We can't handle Krampusfest.
I think I'd be less of a Grinch if I could take one day out of my holiday season to just hit a kid with a switch or screaming in public.
The highlight for this one for me is they have a Christmas village under canopy lights, all centering around this giant oak tree. Looks very pretty. Not much else to say about that one. Unless, do either of you have anything to add?
I thought this one was just all right. I mean,
yeah.
They had a, like, wheelchair thing, which I thought was really cool. Like, supposed to be like their dad in a wheelchair. I thought that was cute.
I missed that one. That's cool.
Yeah, this one is already blended into the back of my brain. I don't have a whole lot of standout from this one specifically.
Yeah, that's fair. The next one, Patty's 1880 settlement in Kentucky. So it used to be just a small restaurant, and now I think it's still mostly just a restaurant throughout the rest of the year, but they just decorate the area around the restaurant. This group seems to have the best turnout. Every single one of these things, there's, like, people from the neighborhood or whatever, their friends and family that come out to watch. This one, they seem to have the biggest group. It seems like the whole town showed up for it. They use over 1 million lights. At first, I thought this one was pretty impressive, but this is where this episode takes a pretty Jesus-y turn, which I guess is, maybe that's to be expected if you're watching Christmas stuff. I don't know. But they have a nativity scene with live people. So they have actual people in this nativity scene who are just supposed to stand perfectly still. Seems like a pretty miserable gig.
Yeah,
if you ask
that
me.
One was fucking weird. I was like, what the hell? Why?
Yeah.
Is there a play they're doing and they just paused or what? You know, what's the long term there?
It seems like they were... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
If they're just being, like, human statues, like, what's the point?
It's almost like they were trying to come up with something really original, but they just decided to use their first idea instead of coming up with something better. So their first idea was, what if we just replace the nativity scene with real people? And instead of, like, continuing until they actually came up with something a little more interesting, they just decided to stick with that. And it doesn't really hit from even without, like, the Jesus-y aspect, it just doesn't hit for me.
I think that those people were just there for the love of the game. They built a nativity and they showed up and they're like, we're going to hang out here.
The love of the game.
I think they're just volunteers. They just love being Joseph and Mary.
Maybe someone stole their nativity scene and this was like, they're like, fuck, what are we going to do?
I mean, if that was the case, I wish they would have mentioned that, because that would have, like, at least given it an angle that would have made it, at least then there's a story, you know what I mean? But the highlight of this place for me was there's a tree that just has lights hanging out of it. So instead of wrapping the lights around the tree, they had lights hanging off of it, and that looked really cool. It was kind of like icicles.
Yeah, I like that.
They also had a water wheel covered in lights, which the engineering aspect of that is it's kind of cool because they have to find a way to get electricity to the thing without it getting all tangled up since it's just constantly moving. There were some cool things with this place, but the live nativity scene threw it off for me a bit.
I think my favorite part of this one was the host was like, or somebody was like, we call this the far tree. And the host was like, the what? And he's like, the far tree. It looks like far.
They got that thick Kentucky accent. Yeah.
I feel like this guy was definitely from like New York. The host.
Oh, yeah. They go inside some building, and again, is back to what I was saying earlier. It's like they just dumped a bunch of Christmas decorations in this room with really no thought whatsoever. There was like an airplane with Christmas lights all over it. I thought that was cool. Not like a full airplane, just like a, you know, model hanging from the ceiling. I thought that was cool, but the rest of the interior I didn't like. They also have a room that looks just like church. It's got like the stainless steel glass and everything. Wasn't really a fan of that either. This was honestly, now that I'm going through my notes, I think this was probably my least favorite of all the different ones.
Really?
I think just all the, you know, a little too much religion for my taste. Even though, again, I know it's Christmas. I know it's kind of a, you know, it's a holiday that at least nowadays is built around a religion, but it's just a little too overwhelming for me. But anything else y'all want to say about this one before we move on to the last one?
This is one of the two that I actually remember, and is specifically because of the water wheel, the active water wheel they had lights on, and they kind of talk about how they built that. And I thought it was really interesting. They use like a copper brush system. So as the wheel turns, the brushes are always rubbing against each other, and they're always conducting electricity through the circuit, even though it's connected. So that I thought was really cool. That was like what impressed me. It's like one of two things that stuck out to me from this entire episode. So I do need
that was like some myth. That was some Mythbusters type shit they had to pull off.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I did not notice that at all. I must have been like typing or something. But that's awesome.
Clifton Mill. I went to the bathroom during a commercial, and then I missed when they introduced this one. So I don't know where this is. I know it's called Clifton Mill. Did either of you catch the location of this one?
Yeah, it's in Ohio.
Ohio, okay.
Big Midwest episode.
This, I think this is the biggest one. They have 4 million lights in this one. It's some kind of mill where they ground wheat to flour, and they decorate the place up for Christmas. They announced that they have a special guest to get the display started. Were either of you able to figure out who the special guest was before he showed up? I knew exactly who it was going to be. I was like, I bet it's going to be Santa Claus again. He was in Kokomo. Santa was real busy this episode.
The Santa, I don't know if you guys noticed, but the Santa looked like he was like 19.
Yeah, he looked very young. I noticed that too. I didn't think he looked 19. I thought he looked 21. Okay. So he looked a little bit older to me. But yeah, very, very young Santa. They start out this display. This display is honestly kind of insane. Like, at first, it doesn't look as detail-oriented as some of the others, although they do get to some of that later. But just because of the sheer magnitude, it just looks like a sea of lights. I thought this one was very beautiful. I think this is probably my favorite. Like I said, the Kokomo, Indiana people are my favorite people on this episode, but this was my favorite light display. And then they also have a covered bridge that does like a synchronized music show, which I'm not as impressed with the lights that synchronize to music. But it was more just like the sheer magnitude of lights on this display that caught my attention. What do y'all think?
Go ahead.
I think this one was just impressive. Like all of them were big. But this one, like the amount of work, he was talking about how he like laid every single strand out, like single strand at a time. And some places he had to rappel to put lights down, like crazy amount of work. for a light display.
I did think it was cool, but I kind of thought it was quantity over quality, me personally. And I also want to know, how would you count, like, how do they know that there's 4 million lights? It just seems a little suspicious to me.
I guess you add up however many are on the box or something. I don't know. you count up all the boxes and, yeah, I don't know.
I know they did have a good story, though. You know, dude and his dad just wanted to own a mill and have a lot of Christmas lights, and damn it, they did it.
Hell yeah, they did.
Also, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you.
I don't know if you were getting to this, but I don't want to forget that this one had the creepiest of all the Santa collections, the indoor.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
Before we get to that, they go to the miniature village, and I thought that was pretty sick.
The miniature village was the other thing that really stood out to me. I thought that was dope.
They said it's the size of a basketball court, and it's all just like miniature. It's almost like a form of storytelling in a way, if you think about it. I don't know. Like you can like look at stories through these little miniature displays. I don't know. But anyway, the thing after that was the thing you were talking about, Daisy. So you want to go ahead and...
So their indoor area was like... It was basically like a Santa museum. And it kind of reminded me of... This is like extremely niche, but I don't know if anyone's ever been to the Haunted Train Museum south of Bloomington.
I want to go now.
I haven't, but I listened to a podcast about it, and it sounds cool.
Really? We went this year. It's like big around Halloween. So we went this year, and it was a lot like this, just a lot of train paraphernalia shoved into a room.
Baker's Junction.
Yes,
but there's no organization really here at all. It literally is just a bunch of. They said they have over 3,000 antique Santa Clauses.
No one should have that many.
Nobody needs that many Santa Clauses, and they just basically just dump them in this room. And here's the thing. I know these people know how to do attention to detail because you can see it in the miniature village, but they don't put any of that effort into the Santa Claus room. They just put them in there.
Yeah, again, I think we're quantity over quality here.
Yeah, it's pretty... And just the Santa Clauses in general are very off-putting for me. But then they climb up to the top of a hill and see that sea of red. And I thought that was very beautiful. And then the episode cut off for me right there. Was there anything that happened after that? Did they say who won? Because I did not catch that.
Yeah. So should we say our picks before we say who won?
Yeah, let's do it. Okay, I'll go first. The first one, the guy had the best story, like setting up this impromptu park just for, you know, just to help the community. And I think that's a really cool story about Kokomo, Indiana. But if I'm just being objective as far as which light display I liked the most, I'm going to go with the last one. Not only did I think the sheer magnitude of the Sea of Red was really impressive and cool, but also the miniature village showed a level of attention to detail that I thought was really cool as well. So that's my pick. We'll do this instead of power rankings, by the way.
Okay. I think just for the amount of effort alone, I'm going to give it to the last one as well. Like, they definitely went above and beyond. So, I think they were... I was kind of like, when I saw it, I was like, yeah, they're going to get it probably.
Fair enough. I would have to go with the Kokomo one. I mean, I know that... I don't know. it's a lot about the people there, but you know, I can't separate the art from the artist in this context. They are just seem like a good wholesome group of dudes. I'm angry with them for shutting down the We Care Park. I really wanted to go, but it seemed like they had such a good attitude about it, and like they didn't really care about being the best and all that. They just cared about bringing joy to the community. I thought that was
they weren't in it to win it. They were just in it for the love of the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I bet they brought a lot of money to their charity from being on the show.
Oh yeah. Who won then?
Oh yeah. So the last
the episode got cut off. Oh, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Anything else notable happen at the end? It literally just cut out for me towards the end there. Yeah.
That guy just won and they gave him the trophy that was like a big light bulb.
Yeah, with little light bulbs in it that light up. And his wife awkwardly like high-fived. Like the whole thing was very obviously staged. Like you could tell they finished interviewing them like same day probably. We're like, okay, come get your prize. Like,
yeah.
Like they had to do the fake like pull up and honk the horn, and the owner of the business walks out for honking Carter being like, oh, who's here to see me? It's like, this is a fucking business. Like, that guy would not be just be like, oh, I bet they're honking. I bet they need to speak to the owner immediately. Oh, should I give my wife? But then the end was pretty touching. Like, he cried, and he also had a story about like his family decorating and them continuing the tradition. That was pretty touching. But I feel like that's a theme here. And I feel like Christmas is a time for families, and so a lot of people hyper fixate their like relationship with their parents after they passed with like specific holidays, and for Christmas a lot of these seem to be like a way to remember their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because my dad always decorated for Christmas, so now I'm going to.
That's a good point. I didn't even notice that. That was kind of a pattern throughout a few of these, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I mentioned earlier that I accidentally watched the wrong episode, and so I watched two back to back, and that was a continued theme.
Okay.
We had a different host on that. It was a lady named Tanya, who was not in this episode, but if you go back
to season six. They change up the host?
Episode one. I think it's because they travel so much. I'm guessing they send different hosts to different parts of the country. And then episode, they come together and do like a big episode, if I remember properly. Okay.
That makes sense.
But I will say the other like thing that is two things, patterns I noticed that are incredibly infuriating is every single fucking family's like, but before we get started, we have a surprise special guest, and it's someone awkwardly dressed as Santa walks out. That happened in the first episode. That happens at every family's house. Santa shows up. They're like, oh, you'll never guess who's coming. And then almost every house, they're like, if you thought that was displayed, there's more. Come in our house.
Hey, Santa's always a happy surprise.
The first episode, I would say go back, because it's definitely wilder. Watch season six, episode one. There's a kid who's just obsessed with inflatables. Like, I don't know. I think it goes a little past a Christmas thing. I've been to the dark side of the internet. I know about how people feel about inflatables, but that he seems to be that kind of guy who just gets away with it at Christmas time.
What? Are you saying it's like a sexual fetish or something? Is that what?
That's what I meant when I joked about the dark side of the internet. I'm not going to sexualize him and his inflatables, but it seems to be his passion seemed to be more about inflatables than it was Christmas, the way he talked.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He's like, you know, a lot of people like decorations, but I still remember the first time I laid my eyes on an inflatable, and there's like a picture of like a kid like rubbing one. And then there was like a really nice gay couple who decorated the inside of their home. It had over 80 trees, and it was the most claustrophobic thing I've ever seen in my life. They had a tree on their bed.
Sounds horrible.
And a tree coming out of their toilet. It was their toilet trees. That was the pun.
God.
The house looked unlivable. They were a nice enough couple, but they had a tree dedicated to Liberace. That was pretty neat. but I would be put in a hospital and be forced to wear the grippy socks if I had to live in that home for any period of time.
If you've had any bad experiences with Santa, or good experiences with inflatables, whatever you want to talk about, you can call us or leave a text at 317-296-3247. Once again, that's 317-296-3247. No calls or voicemails this week, but feel free to leave us anything holiday-related.
Call us, beep us, if you want to reach
yeah,
us.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have much else other than I want to let you both know that a listener did give us a Christmas present, but I'm going to wait till the next episode to give it to you guys. Because I want to give it to y'all in person. We're recording this episode over Zoom for our listeners, FYI. But so I'll give that to y'all next time. But we do have a Christmas present on the way from one of our listeners. And I'm going to give you both a homework assignment. You both rolled your eyes a little bit. But I'm going to give you both a homework assignment before our next episode. Next episode, we're doing Geordie Shore Season 10, Episode 2. But it's going to be, going to be recording that the same week as New Year's. So I want you both to think about what your confession cam New Year's resolution is.
Oh, hell yeah.
And we'll do that to open up the next episode, if I remember.
Okay. So are these our resolutions for the show or just our own that we're sharing with the show?
For the show.
Okay.
Yeah. We could do like some pie in the sky shit, like make a confession cam movie, or it can just be like, I resolve to watch way more reality TV, or you know, one could be like, we're never going to watch the Kardashians this year, you know, stuff like that.
I'm going to watch the right episode for every episode.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
I mean, yeah. Hasn't this been a confession cam theme? Wasn't the very first season that we watched, you watched the wrong one?
I watched the entirety of the first season of The Kardashians before being informed that we were watching the new season of The Kardashians.
I think you also did this with Wife Swap, if I recall correctly. You watched a different episode.
I just watched a lot of Wife Swap. I really enjoyed that one. I was looking for good episodes for us to watch.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
Because we kept finding good ones. That's one of those shows I'm like, we could go back and just keep going back to the well on that one.
That's true. We were just going to that was just going to be a one-off, and we just couldn't look away from it.
Yeah. This show, on the other hand, though, we probably never need to go through. If you've seen a Christmas play, you've seen them all.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'd have much to say about doing in season 10.
I can't remember which of you said it at the beginning of this episode, but it really does feel like just a filler show. It's not like atrocious. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but it just seems very filler.
Yeah. I do think it's by far the most wholesome thing we've ever watched on here. There was no,
without a doubt.
Verbal abuse, incest, alcohol abuse.
Nothing like that. Yeah. Very wholesome. Absolutely. Which honestly, I think there's a lot more wholesome reality shows. We could probably fold some of that into our diet, our confession cam diet. I don't want that to be exclusively what we watch. Don't get me wrong. I like the messy shit.
Confession cam goes wholesome.
Don't throw the vegetables out for the meat. I know you want your meaty, wholesome TV show, but we need that strong vegetables to keep us going.
Exactly. Yeah. Anything else from either of y'all before we call it? This might be a short one, but I think that's okay. This is just this is our little holiday special.
Well, you guys know what I say is, have yourself a merry little Christmas.
You're always saying that.
I'm always saying
monthly. It just makes sense for the first time ever since I've known you, but you're always,
she says it in July even.
Fuck Christmas. But happy holidays, and I don't know. Call your mom.
Yeah.
Talk to her today. So I'm good for the year.
There you go. All set.
Got him.
All right, everyone. I'll co-sign that. Happy holidays, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, y'all.
Yep, happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, or whatever you celebrate.
XOXO.
Smithmas. Bye.